Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
All right.
In 2019, 26-year-old Dom Chambers was on America's Got Talent. He's a magician, and he had an amazing audition. He began by holding up an empty brown paper bag with one hand. And with the other hand, he reached in and pulled out a completely full glass of beer. Then he said, "They say that good magicians should never perform the same trick twice. It's a good thing that I'm not a very good magician." Then he reached in the same bag and pulled out another completely full glass of beer. As the act went on, he produced glass after glass of beer, sometimes from the brown paper bag, sometimes from the sleeves of his jacket, and one time even from his shoe. By the end of the act, he had the crowd cheering. He had produced enough glasses of beer to fill the entire table in front of him. Now, as many of you know, I like magic tricks. I'm always amazed at how these magicians can do these things, because we know there's a secret. Right? There is no way to really make a glass of beer come out of an empty bag. It's an illusion. So I'm not sure how he did it, but that's what makes it a really good trick. Good tricks are entertaining. There's some secret, and it's not how life normally works. And I think quite often we approach the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 as if it were a magic trick too. Jesus has a big crowd in front of him, and they're ready to see some amazing act. And he starts off with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, magicians have to have their props. Then, with a wave of his hand, he makes enough food to feed over 5,000 people. Now remember, there were women and children there too, so it's more like 5,000 households, which could be at least 15,000 people. So just like Dom Chambers producing one glass of beer after another, Jesus made more bread and fish appear. And that's why this event is often called the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. The church in the Holy Land that celebrates this event is even called the Church of the Multiplication. Now, unlike Dom Chambers, though, we know the secret to Jesus' trick. The secret is, he's God. He has powers beyond those of mortal men. He could just snap his fingers and poof, make more food. Which sounds great. But you know, there's a problem with this. If Jesus can just snap his fingers and make more food, enough food to feed 5,000 households, then why doesn't he do it today? Maybe he needs something to get him started, like 5 loaves and 2 fish. If so, then I bet that any of us would be happy to go to Kroger, buy a shopping cart full of food, give it to him, and say, "Here, Jesus, use this food to feed all the hungry people in the world. Multiply it like you did the loaves and the fish." But of course, that doesn't happen, does it? Just look at our world. In 2018, the last year that data was available, the World Health Organization said that there were 820 million people in the world who did not have enough to eat. That is roughly 1 out of 9 people. So if Jesus can feed 15,000 people back then, why doesn't he feed 820 million people today? Is that too many for him? Does his divine power have a limit? Or does this miracle not happen because Jesus isn't physically here with us? Right? I mean, like, back in the first century, he had no problem multiplying loaves and fish to feed all the people. But today, since he's not around like that, are we just out of luck? Is that what's going on here? Well, if so, then this story is just an example of how powerful Jesus was way back when. It becomes the biblical equivalent of Dom Chambers doing his trick on America's Got Talent. It's fun to watch, but it's not how our knives normally work. It's entertaining, but so what? It doesn't really matter in our actual lives. Is this just an example of Jesus the showman trying to make it onto the live finale? No, of course not. Jesus is not an entertainer. He is the savior of the world. We don't need him to do magic tricks. We've got people like Dom Chambers who can do that. We need Jesus to show us how much God radically loves us. So then what's really going on here? Well, Jesus takes a little bit and he feeds the crowds with it. Right, yes, that's obvious, right? But what does it really look like today? Well, to answer that, we need to look at the problems that we share with the disciples and how Jesus addresses them. The problems are scarcity, inadequacy, and the focus on literal bread. Right, first, the disciples see a hungry crowd of 5,000 households. They also know that they have only 5 loaves and 2 fish, which cannot feed that many people. Right, these loaves and fish were considered a poor person's lunch. This was not an extravagant meal here. This was food to eat on the go. I once heard someone say that it's the first century equivalent of a Lunchable. You cannot feed 5,000 households with a Lunchable. You can barely feed one kid with it. So the disciples think that the best way to help the people is to just send them away. Make them go back into town and find food for themselves. In other words, the disciples see both scarcity, the lack of resources, and their own inadequacy to do anything about it. So they try to pass off the problem. They want the proverbial someone else to take care of it. How many times have we done that? We see a need. We see a problem that we think needs fixed. We might even talk about it with others. But then we think, oh, I can't do it myself, or I don't want to do it. I'm either too unprepared, too busy, too lazy, or just too apathetic to actually do anything about it. Let someone else take care of it. Well, Jesus, though, doesn't buy that excuse. He never does. That's because Jesus sees something that the disciples don't see. He sees that in his hands, the little bit that they have can still feed the world. Because it's not about the literal food. Why? Because Jesus did not multiply the loaves and the fish. This is one of my pet peeves about common interpretations of the story, and I know I've mentioned it before. If we look at the verbs in this text, what Jesus does with the food, he took, blessed, broke, and gave. It does not say multiplied. Okay, so then how did he feed the crowd with just a little bit? Well, the verbs are actually a very important clue. Jesus did these exact same verbs at the Last Supper. Many people have seen a parallel between this story and that one. During that meal, Jesus took, blessed, broke, and gave the disciples the bread, which, of course, was more than just bread. It was Jesus himself. "This is my body. This is my blood," he said. Consider the same thing happening here. Although this is not the Eucharist, there is more happening here than it seems. There's bread and fish, but it's not just bread and fish. It's really Jesus himself. Think of it this way. There is one Jesus. And numerically, that's not very much. He's just one guy. But if we stop looking at the number, we remember that this one Jesus has given himself to countless people around the world and throughout time. So often, we focus on this story as if it's just about food for our stomachs. And then we wonder why Jesus doesn't just snap his fingers over a grocery cart and feed all the hungry people in the world. Although feeding people physically is important, feeding people with Jesus is important too. Jesus told the disciples to feed the crowd. They thought they couldn't do it. They thought they didn't have much to give. That's because they were focused on the literal bread. But in the hands of Jesus, bread isn't just bread. It's himself. As Jesus even told the devil in the wilderness, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus sends us out to share him with a hungry world. That means when it comes to sharing Jesus, it is not about how intimidating the task looks. It's not about if you have stage fright. It's not about if you think you're inadequate or unprepared, or you're too busy or too lazy or whatever else your excuse is. It's not about if you want someone else to do it. The disciples felt all those things too. Jesus still took what they had, made it a vessel for his love, and gave it back to the disciples in order for them to give it to the crowds. In other words, everyone can tell others about Jesus. And that food never runs out. Think of it also like the Bible. Right? No one is adding anything new to the Bible. The canon is closed, as they say. There is no multiplying of the Bible. Yes, Bibles get printed all the time, but the content of the Bible does not grow. There are 66 books, and that's it. There are 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's it. Yet this one Bible, which points us to Jesus, has fed so many people over the years. And there are always overflowing baskets of leftovers. People will be feasting on the word for ages to come. There are always new things to discover, new ways to be fed by Scripture. This is why Jesus didn't need to multiply the loaves and the fish. Because it's not about the physical food. In his hands, even a little bit, like one scripture, one person, one word of forgiveness, can feed the world. The good news of Jesus never runs out. And there is plenty for everyone for ages to come. That is why this story is so wonderful. It's not just about something Jesus did way back when. And it's not about Jesus being a showman. And it's certainly not about a magic trick. It's about how Jesus takes what looks like a little bit and abundantly feeds the world with it. Now that's a miracle. In the name of the one who we share with the world, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.